Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We come to you, Lord, knowing our weaknesses, knowing our failings, Lord. But Lord, we look to you because you make us strong. You cleanse us of our unrighteousness. You create new hearts in us. Lord, I just pray that you'd open your word for us this morning, that you'd open heaven for us this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the words that are spoken will be your words. And I pray, Lord, you'd give us hearts to receive and understand what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning is Communion Sunday. You probably knew that, didn't you? Not a whole lot gets past you guys, does it? Our opening scripture this morning was in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32. I'm not going to read it just yet. This is probably the earliest recording of the Lord's Supper, of the of what we call communion. This is the earliest recording in the Bible of it. It's written to the Corinthians, but it's also written to us. Starts out, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you." And what did we say? I think it was last week, that which we receive from the Lord, we're supposed to share with others, aren't we? The Corinthians had treated the Lord's table as something common, though. And Paul was concerned with the condition of their heart and what they had turned it into. They weren't discerning the Lord's body. And Paul was trying to set in order the observance here. He's trying to show the seriousness of it. Because it is a serious observance, isn't it? It's very solemn. In verses 17 through 22, I'm not going to read it, but it says he's talking to the Corinthians saying what they had turned it into. Some people were even showing up for it drunk. Or they're using it as a reason to get drunk, since they had the wine there. Some people showed up there because they were hungry. Why do we come here? Why do we come to this table? First Corinthians 11:23 through 32. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." How does Jesus feel about this observation or this celebration? In Luke 22:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "I have desired to eat this Passover with you. With desire, I have desired." Although he doesn't partake it anymore, and he says he won't until we're all up there together, yet he's still here with us, and he's still observing what we're doing, and he's still celebrating it with us, isn't he? Because that's his desire. Anytime we get together and gather in his name, it's his desire too. Is this an external or an internal observance? Is this something we do on the outside that we show the world? Or is this something we do on the inside? You nodded your head for both, Jeremy. That's because it's true. It's both. It's external because we are to show the world. It's our testimony of who we are. It's our testimony of what he did for us. But it's also internal. It's also our testimony to ourselves. I heard a story some time ago about a man that wanted to have just a private communion with him and the Lord. And he didn't have a whole lot of anything. The only thing he had was a hot dog bun and a can of Coca-Cola. Do you think the Lord accepted that? I think that whatever we have that we bring to God with faith is accepted by him. But what about Cain? Well, Cain didn't bring his offering to the Lord with faith. He brought it out of obligation or out of duty or because he felt he had to. Abel brought his sacrifice with faith. That which we have, it may not be much. A hot dog bun and Coca-Cola. That'll work. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. He knew he was going to be betrayed, yet he still did this, didn't he? He knew everything was going to happen. He knew that this event was going to be recorded and was going to be remembered for thousands of years till he comes back. And in spite of the fact that he was being betrayed, he still took this bread and this cup with his disciples. And at that time, that even included Judas, the one that betrayed him. What does that tell us? It tells us we're supposed to get along with each other, doesn't it? We're supposed to do everything we can to be on good terms, like Paul says. As much as depends on you, be on good terms with everybody. As much as depends on you. Some people won't allow it, but still, we have to do our best to be on good terms with people. And that's important when we come to this table. If we have aught against anybody or anybody has aught against us, then we're supposed to come to the Lord before we take of this, and we'll have an opportunity to do that. And we're supposed to either forgive them or ask forgiveness for us if we're at fault. And maybe we should ask forgiveness for ourselves anyway because of our reaction to what somebody else did for us. Doesn't hurt, does it? And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." The bread. This was a Passover dinner, so it was probably unleavened bread. He said, "Take this bread." So many churches believe that that's the bread that we're supposed to use. Now, I'm not going to argue with that. But yet, leavened or unleavened, the bread represents Jesus Christ. And he lived a pure, sinless life. And yet, when he went to the cross, he took our sins on him, didn't he? So maybe either would work. The cup. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." What are we asked to do? We're asked to take the cup. What does the cup represent? His blood. But it represents something else too. It represents his suffering. Jesus, when he was in the garden, he said, "If it's possible, there's any other way, then take this cup from me." The cup of suffering. Are we supposed to suffer for the Lord? If that's what happens, that's what happens, isn't it? We're supposed to be willing to. That doesn't mean it's going to happen to all of us. It's going to be in lesser degrees for different people. The cup. It usually, except in one place where the Lord's Supper is recorded, there's only one place where it actually mentions what is in the cup. And that's in Luke 22:18. "For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." Every place else, it says the cup. It doesn't say wine. It doesn't say grape juice. It can be either wine or grape juice. It may have been watered down wine at that time. I don't know. I've heard someone say that the wine was new wine, and when it's first new, it's not fermented yet, and it's basically nothing more than grape juice. And of course, that's what we use. What is being given? We have a little piece of bread and a little cup of grape juice. Is that nourishing? Is that going to sustain you all day? It's not really physically nourishing very much, is it? What about spiritually? And that's how we're supposed to receive it, what it does for us spiritually. Who is giving it? Jesus is giving it. He was giving it then. He's still providing it for us, isn't he? He says, "Take, eat, drink. Partake of this. Receive this. Receive this in everything it represents." Because it's a lot more than just a little piece of bread and a little cup of grape juice. It's him. Does it magically become him? No, I don't believe that. Some churches teach that. I don't. But it represents him. We do this as a remembrance. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." When we do this, we have to have him in mind. You know, I was thinking of that song we sang, "When I look into your holiness." It doesn't say if, it says when. If we're Christians, if we're believers, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, then we have to be looking into his holiness. And we have to be comparing that to us, ourselves. We fall far short, don't we? And what do we do about that? We ask for his forgiveness. We ask for his cleansing of our heart. And we ask for his renewing us. And we keep trying. That's what's important, isn't it? The Bible says that a man falls seven times, but seven times, a righteous man falls seven times, but seven times he gets up. We keep trying, we keep going. We might fumble through this life, and we might make a lot of mistakes. But yeah, we keep our eyes on the prize, we press forward toward that prize. And we keep going. and we keep striving to be like Him. This is more than a remembrance, though, isn't it? This is a celebration. It's a celebration of what He's done for each one of us. It's a celebration of where He's brought us from. I mentioned that last week. Where has He brought us from? Where were we? What were we? We were lost. We are to do this frequently. It says in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, as often, we are to do it frequently. We don't do it every day. We don't do it every week because we don't want it to become commonplace. We do it once a month because that way it's a special observance, something that's set apart and something that is special to us. Some churches do it maybe three times a year, quarterly. I think it needs to be done more than that, personally. Some people do it. Some churches do it once a year. We are to do this frequently. And we are to do this perpetually. Verse 26 says, once again, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come, perpetually, until He comes back. We are to do this worthily. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. What are some examples of unworthiness? Unrepentance? Unconfessed sin? Disbelief? Alienation from God and from His ways? Being a stranger to God? Being not really His? Hebrews 10:29 says, Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Those that treat it that way, instead of being cleansed by His blood, they are guilty of His blood. In verse 27 it says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Examine himself. As I mentioned before, we're going to have a time where we're going to go to the Lord before we partake of this. We're going to go to the Lord and we're going to talk to Him about our condition of our heart. We're going to examine ourselves. We're going to look to see if there is any unconfessed sin, if there's any unrepentance, if there's any disbelief. We're going to look at our relationship with the Lord. Jesus said that the stone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone. And then He said that those that fall on the stone will be broken, but those that the stone falls on will be crushed. There's a difference there. Falling on the stone is throwing ourselves on His mercy, and yes, we'll be broken. God has a way of breaking His people, doesn't He? Some of us He breaks more than once. Some of us need to be broken more than once. But when we don't fall on his mercy, then that stone becomes judgment and it falls on us and it crushes us. I'm going to ask George and Bill to come forward and start passing out the elements. And I'm going to ask everybody to bow your head and talk to the Lord about where you are. Take the time to examine yourself. Did everybody get served? We have a covenant with God. By partaking of this, we are renewing and reaffirming that covenant that we have with Him. Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for this cup, and we thank You, Lord, for this bread. We thank You, Lord, for Your body and Your blood, which You gave for us. And Lord, we freely receive it. We gladly, joyfully receive it. And we freely and gladly and joyfully receive You into our hearts. Thank You, Lord. And when He had given thanks, He broke it, the bread, and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." You may eat the bread. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament of My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me." You may drink the cup.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Bless the Lord.
Does anybody here have a birthday this month? We have cake and ice cream after tonight's service.